Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Theater and College Hoops. I am Subi. Alongside me, Taylor Dammel. We're in the real thick of it. It is day two of perusing and poring over our bracket. I've gone back and forth. Taylor, I'll bring you in just a little bit after the break to get your thoughts. But I know I've gone back and forth. I've scrapped it. I'm like that dude, that hopeless romantic in Love Actually, the one who's the film guy. Actually, I'll just bring you in right now because I'm rambling. But the film guy at his best friend's wedding, and he fell in love with Keira Knightley, right? Mm-hmm. There's this one scene where he's like, should I go after her after she finds out? Or like, should I go back home? He just paces back and forth. That's what my Midwest region is in my bracket.
You know, this isn't a good sign, you know, because I like everybody, we just kind of fill out an initial first glance bracket, I think, you know. And I kind of love it. I kind of like it. Like I'm finding reasons to not change anything.
Stick with it.
You know,
I think you got to stick with it.
Well, because that's the problem. And I've always thought this just with almost everything I do. I'm not superstitious necessarily, but like
just a little stitious.
Just a little stitious. I'm always saying that I'd rather be wrong up front than to switch my answer and be wrong, because then I'm going to feel like an idiot, right? So I'd rather risk being wrong the first time around than risk being wrong the second time around. So kind of like, and if you want to get real karmic here, however you want to phrase it, it's kind of like, maybe you picked that game like that for a reason, and then you switched it, you know, and then you switched it up, and now you're just an idiot, you know. So it doesn't matter in the end. I'm still gonna finish. I'm looking at my brackets from last year. I finished like 50th percentile in like every bracket I filled out last year. So
that's the thing. We make fun of people who are super duper into signs, right? Like, oh my gosh, you're a Cancer and I'm a Scorpio. Like we are meant to be together. But we're over here saying, no, this pick is meant to be. There's a reason I took this pick, all right? So we're all crazy, and we've already all gone mad. But we are brought to you by Belly Up Media. Go download, subscribe, rate, and review us on whichever device it is that you use. Your college hooper of the day, I'm going to go with God Sham God. He is not a random college hooper. He's actually a very famous college hooper, iconic move, all of that stuff. Majority of this reasoning, though, Taylor, is because I just wanted to throw Providence a bone. We talked a little bit about it with Jason Carmelo during our instant reactions, but man, I feel bad for Providence. So this is my gift to you. God Sham God is the college hooper of the day. Check out the website at theaterandcollegehoops.com and make sure to follow me at CVB Theater to find out where the feat is. You should also follow Taylor at Taylor Enamel. Let's open the curtains.
Step back!
Hall, eight to shoot. Hall, the runner! Loose ball! It's good! With 4.4 to go! Shannon!
Don't want a foul!
Shannon from the corner! And it's over! Gonzaga! The flipper still fits!
Taylor, welcome back, man. Like I said, it is Monday as we're recording this. This is going to drop Tuesday as you're listening to this, and we're going to have the first two games of the NCAA tournament between Wagner and Howard, and then following that will be Colorado State versus Virginia, and we're going to get into some of our predictions there. But and you told me a little bit about this in the intro, but how's your bracket looking now? I know you're liking your initial picks.
I am liking my initial picks. You know, obviously, we're going to save most of the deep dive of our bracket until next episode, I believe, and kind of give our picks and stuff like that. I will not give out picks, but just some of the games I'm struggling with that I would consider changing. I definitely have Mississippi State going too far, and which means they're going more than one game in my bracket is where I'm going with this, right? So that's a questionable pick, just given the fact that they would be playing Carolina in the second round. So for some reason, I don't know why I've kind of latched on to Mississippi State this year. I think I just happened to watch, did they play ASU in the non-conference this year?
That may have been, they played Washington State, and I believe they beat Washington State.
Yeah, there was just a game that I watched them this year and they played really well, and it was
that might have been the Barstool Classic or whatever.
And it definitely was like not indicative of like their season, right? But that was just the game for some reason that I latched onto this year. And they played, I think they hit like, yeah, they beat ASU in
threes,
the
right?
In the literal first game of the year, they beat ASU. So I'm basing every single thing I'm doing in my bracket with Mississippi State off one game I watched on like November 8th this year. So that's a problem. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's a genius, you know.
Here's what I want to say real quick about Mississippi State. Having watched them just very closely the last like week covering the SEC tournament for Sleepers Media, Josh Hubbard's a problem, man. He's really good and he can absolutely go toe to toe with Tyson Walker and potentially RJ Davis if they meet up. Tolu Smith needs to play a little bit better. He hasn't been sensational. He's got the capability. He just hasn't been sensational. That's a weird matchup though, Mississippi State, Michigan State, because right, like I think Mississippi State is ranked 10 or so spots, 10, 12 spots lower than Michigan State, but and they've lost 5 of their last 7, but those two wins, they came in the SEC tournament. So, yeah, no, I mean, the frequently used joke of the day, Taylor, just put it MSU. Put it MSU and you'll get it right.
Can't wait to hear that for like 72 more hours here.
Yeah.
So, some of the other games, just to be quick, I'm struggling with is, you know, right now I have Grand Canyon and Charleston playing each other, coming out, you know, beating St. Mary's in Alabama. So then, of course, you know, you're just questioning yourself having a 12 and 13. So in that section of the bracket, I have an 8, a 12, and a 13, you know, all in play for more than just 1 week, right? So that's where I'm struggling. And then I think probably where you're struggling, probably where a lot of people are struggling, at least in my opinion, is you know, Tennessee or Purdue. You know, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think if you look at that side of that bracket, you know, if you look at the odds of which teams are coming to that side of the bracket, Tennessee and Purdue, I think is like 78 or something percent. If you combine both their percentages, which I think is the highest of any one or two seed of any of the four regions. So long story short, that means that literally everybody expects it to be Tennessee, Purdue. I've gone back and forth on who I think is going to win that game. I currently have Purdue. But like we said, it's kind of like whose curse is going to end first, if that's what, you know, that's how it goes. I mean, the storylines of like that we could see are the ones and two. I think the best storylines we would get are Tennessee and Purdue. Just they have a history and they're two tortured schools. And then, you know, on the other side, I think Caleb Love potentially playing his old team in North Carolina to get to the Final Four. I think those are the two best Elite Eight storylines we could see. So kind of figuring out if I want to roll with the storyline narrative or if I want to kind of create my own upsets. But those are the ones I'm struggling with. I'm too high on Mississippi State, I believe. And then I have some upsets there in the West happening on the top side of the bracket, hopefully not on the bottom side of the, of
we'll
the,
see.
Of the West. But then Tennessee, Purdue, that's what I'm struggling with currently.
The issue though, is that we're leaving out a third team in both of those regions in the Midwest and the West, in my opinion. In the West, St. Mary's could make a run. I didn't buy St. Mary's a couple of weeks ago, but they're just tough as hell. Like they will not play your pace. They're not fun. They remind me a little bit of Houston actually playing against them. Mm-hmm. They remind me a little bit of Iowa State playing against them. So St. Mary's could absolutely make a bit of a run. And then in the Midwest, Creighton can do it. Right. Everyone's talking about Tennessee and Purdue, and I know what the odds are, and I know what the talent says. They have the two best players in the entire country in Zach Edey and Dalton Knecht, and I want to see those two Titans clash, but Creighton can absolutely do it. The thing is, I've just seen Creighton maybe slip up a couple more times than I have Purdue and Tennessee, and I don't think enough has been made of Purdue's resume this year. Their out-of-conference is terrific. They only have, what, four total losses on the season? And one of them was in overtime against Wisconsin in the Big Ten semifinal. I just like the only thing that would stop them is themselves getting in their own way. And I just don't want to be one of those guys that's like, and it's if you've been one of these guys the last couple of years regarding Purdue, where you're saying, I'm not going to do it because they can't beat North Texas. They can't beat St. Peter's, right? I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to pick them to go very far. And you've been proven right. But I cannot be the guy who jumps ship on them the year they end up going to the Final Four and getting it right. And I think I'll actually be in the majority of spaces, just like the people the last few years, if and when Purdue gets tripped up. But even if they go to the Elite Eight, like that's fine for my bracket. I just can't have them losing in the first freaking round.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, the other thing that Well, that's a tough part with St. Mary's too, is that, like, I have them being upset in the first round, and yet they're that type of team where you're like, or I could take them all the way to the Elite Eight. You know, it's just kind of, it's just painful. You know, in breaking down some of my, you know, bracket options too, I've started to really, really notice how ludicrous the top seeds in the East are.
Auburn
has the fifth highest. UConn has the top odds, right? Obviously, Auburn has like the fifth highest odds.
Iowa State. Iowa State
has like the sixth highest odds. Yeah, and then you got, of course, not that San Diego State is as good as they were necessarily last year. We don't know. We'll see. But then you have a team that went to the national championship game last year. Three of those teams are in the same half of the bracket. You know, and so to me that's just if you look at how weak the West is, in my opinion, still, and I still feel like that after looking a day after our episode from yesterday, I still feel like that's true. If you go up to the East, you're like, holy shit. Like, what, you got four teams right here that easily could be national championship winners. I don't see four teams from that I have an opportunity to win the national championship in the West. I don't think that at all. You know, I think maybe two, and that's just the top two seeds. Yeah. I think from there, it's like, yeah, none of these teams are making a run. Yeah. You go up to the East and it's like, shit, I could make a case for like seven of these teams to make a run.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. The top four. I mean, and prior to looking at the bracket and the bracket
top five,
out,
excuse me, top five, if you include San Diego State, sorry, not to interrupt, but I mean,
I don't include San Diego. Yeah. Okay, San Diego State's right. Not going to, well, I suppose I said that last year, but no,
yeah,
okay with saying it.
I'm just saying, like, we're in the national championship game last year is the only reason I would say that. So,
here's the thing,
sorry, continue on.
The thing is, when people make these projections, you either got to stand on business or you got to say, let me wait for the bracket to come out and the matchups, right? Because there's been so many people that have been saying UConn's got as good a shot as any to repeat. And I'm looking at these same people and they're like, well, you know, I got them losing to Auburn or I got them losing to Iowa State. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you knew this was a possibility when you're saying that they can repeat, and they absolutely can. So you either stand on business and you say they're going to win the East, which at the moment right now, folks, I have them winning the East because I've been glazing UConn. I've just been saying they're a real business where like expectations need to be exceeded, not met. If you meet expectations, it's a terrible day. And Danny Hurley is going to put you on a performance plan. UConn, I still have coming out of the East, but there's been so many people that are like, oh, they can absolutely repeat, or no, Creighton's for sure a Final Four team. I could see them. Put your money where your mouth is, dude. Have them beating Purdue and Tennessee. And then like you say the same things about Purdue and people are saying like, oh yeah, this is the trajectory, the Virginia trajectory. They've been so good, all this stuff. And yet I'm seeing people taking like Tennessee. And look, I've said Tennessee's a Final Four type of team. And that's why I'm wrestling between Purdue and Tennessee. I suppose I've never said that, you know, omitted that Creighton or Purdue could get there, but just wait until the matchups and stuff come out. Like, I understand we have to hot take and we have to project and all that, but it's so funny to me how many people were so confident in January and February saying like, oh yeah, UConn could absolutely repeat, and they have them losing to the other seeds that, yeah, it is a tough bracket, but that's part of the game, man. Like that's what you have to take into account when you go out and you say, yeah, they could absolutely repeat. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, it's making a prediction without making a prediction. This is the time of year that we see this the most. It's I always liken it to the guy who says, oh, you know, they're this so-and-so team's going to lose, and they win like 16 straight games and then they lose. And he's like,
I told you.
Told you, you know, it's like where like when it rains, I told you, it'd be like, dog, you've been saying it for 99 days in a row. It hasn't rained. And now you're like, man, I've been telling you it's going to rain. You know, it's kind of like that guy. And we get a lot of that guy this time of year. We'll talk about that a little more when we get to our bracket rules later on in the bracket etiquette in this episode. But yeah, you get a lot of those guys that, you know, I always like to say, you know, you realize this is being recorded and we can watch this back. Like, it's not like you can fool people to 3 days later be like, no, I definitely took Tennessee. It's like, just dude, no, you didn't. On CBS Sportsnet on Tuesday night, you took Purdue, you know.
But just caveat it with, I got to wait for the matchups. This is depending on matchups. Right. This is depending on seeds, right? Because I think we all think Auburn is a Final Four level team. But when you look at the bracket, does anyone really have Auburn going to the Final Four? If you do, kudos to you. It's not that far-fetched, but I've been more on UConn's jock than I have Auburn, to be perfectly honest. And it's not a difficult decision for me to make to put UConn in over them.
So here's a good example. They have like they're the worst of any of the second highest odds to win their region, if that makes sense. So like the one seeds all are the favorites for their regions. Right now, the number two seed, for example, like let's look at Arizona and North Carolina. Arizona is actually the favorite to win the West region at plus 190. North Carolina is plus 250. Okay, they're within range, right? Now, even though Auburn has the sixth highest odds to win the national championship, they're plus 400 to win their side of the bracket. So and UConn is plus 105. A massive difference between the highest seed and the next highest odds. But that's goes to show you exactly what you're saying is, okay, yeah, well, we'd have picked Auburn in almost any other situation, but they have to play the best team in the country. Alternatively, a team I talked about a lot on the other episode, last episode, and what I still feel a lot or good about now is, a week ago, I wouldn't have been like, yeah, Florida's like an Elite Eight type of team necessarily. Given how I see their path, I'm like, Florida's going to the Elite Eight. Like that's, you know, and I don't know how confident I am in saying that, but that's what I'm going to pick. That's what I'm rooting for. And I do feel like that's going to happen. And so, but a week ago, if they were in Auburn situation, I'd been like, oh, they're getting smoked in the second round and we're never going to hear from them. So, yeah.
It's funny to hear all of these things. I mean, you just blanket and say like, oh yeah, these 25 teams are all capable of going to the Final Four. Well, yeah. That's true. But when it comes to like push, when push comes to shove, what are you going to do? But anyway, we're going to talk a lot more about the bracket and our actual picks when we release the episode on Thursday morning, day of the first huge slate of games. I can't wait. Still got a lot of digestion to do. I'm on version 2.0 right now, Taylor, but we're going to continue to go through the iterations like a stupid freaking deck that you have to present to your senior vice president. You got to go through iterations. All right. So we're going to do that. But what I want to do real quick, Taylor, shoehorn this in. This week in feet, baby. I got more from the journal. I got more from the journal.
I think I know which one. There's one of these that is not going to be
already passed it, and I tweeted it. That's already true. Passed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you were going to bring it up yet.
The Princeton-Arizona game. No, here's what I will bring up, though, from March 18th, 2022. That's the thing. I have stuff from 2 years ago. So let's do March 18th, 2022 and 23, all right? Another terrific day of hoops. Arizona beat 16-seed Wright State in San Diego. Too many turnovers. Hope they can clean that up. Okay. The rest of that is personal stuff. 2023, March 18th. I was in Ojai, California last year around this time, Taylor, for a friggin' wedding. All right. Now I'm home alone this upcoming weekend. I earned this, but I said somehow Princeton won again and Vols beat Duke in a great game. What else happened? Kansas lost to Arkansas, unfortunately. Hate my bracket. That's what I said on March 18th, 2023. Let's go back to 2022 of March 19th. Let's see here. Also, UNC almost blew a 25-point lead to Baylor. That was March 19th. I believe Jeremy Sohan was on that team.
Oh, forgot about that game. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 2023, what happened last year? Zags beat TCU and Kansas State beat Kentucky. I don't know if you recall that. So not like a ton of detail, but just a quick little reminder for you folks. I love going down memory lane and not reading about anything personal, but about Kansas State and Jerome Tang and Kentucky and John Calipari.
Yeah. But really, you know, it's the exact people you want to think about as you lay your head to rest every night on the pillow, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Stay tuned, folks. I got about 3 more weeks of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Then it's probably just talking about baseball. But all right, Taylor, play-in predictions. We got our first set of games in Dayton later tonight. By the way, go to Dayton, check out UD Arena. They are a great host. They're a wonderful host. I say it every single year when people are like, why do they host the first four? Check it out. I can't stress it enough. But in the early game, the 16 seeds, we got Wagner versus Howard. And then in the late game, we got Colorado State and Virginia. Taylor, talk to me about Wagner versus Howard. Anything moving you in this? Have you done any sort of research on it? It's all right if you haven't. Curious to know your thoughts, though.
You know, yeah, two teams that we really know a lot about here. I am going to roll with Howard on this just because of their guard, Bryce Harris, who averages 17 points a game, and which is not uncommon for a guard to average 17 points a game, but he does shoot it at an extremely high clip, 55% from the field for the year. That's a type of guy that can take over a one-game playoff situation. I'm not going to sit here and act like I watched a ton of the Seahawks or what are they? Bison?
Bison. Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to say I watched a ton of their games this year, but that was the first thing I noticed is give me a guard with a good shooting percentage in one of these that's going to have the ball in his hands a lot in these type of games, because they're usually slower paced games. That's something to monitor in your bracket too, is the tournament games are generally just like the NFL playoffs or, you know, stuff like things that tend to slow down a little bit. Teams are nervous, especially the Howards and the Wagners of the world who've never been in this situation before, right? So if I can have a guy with a ball in his hands that I feel confident in, that shoots the ball at a high level and can score the basketball, that's where I'm going to roll with if I don't have anything else to work with. Give me Howard here.
This is a tough one, mostly because I don't know very much about these teams. End up, you got me. But there's some storylines here. First and foremost, Wagner wins the NEC with like 7 healthy players. I don't know how the hell they did that. But what they can look forward to now is at least a day's worth of rest. Because in the conference tournaments, you got to just go and go and go. But now they can just, they're well rested. I don't know what their roster looks like, but that's a storyline and something to monitor there for Wagner. Then to Howard, I think you mentioned Bryce Williams. Is that who it was? Bryce Harris.
Yeah, Bryce Harris.
Let's not forget, though, about Seth Towns. Seth Towns is a man who has been around the block, a surefire, potentially Dean, GOAT, president of the Van Wilder house, whatever you want to say. I'm not trying to make fun of Seth Towns here, but he's been around for quite some time. And to give you a better understanding of that, he was playing ball when like Lonzo Ball and Jason Tatum were in college. And so that gives you a really good idea of the experience Seth Towns has. And he's actually been playing pretty well. And it's nice to see this is his first NCAA tournament. Now, as it relates to the game itself, gosh, I kind of want to take Wagner. They're on a hot streak right now. They're just streaking. I mean, they have nothing to lose. I mean, I suppose neither does Howard, but they're just playing with zero fear. They got seven players to roll the ball out. Screw it. Let's go get it, and let's go get it done now. And I think some of the NEC competition actually that they faced, Merrimack, man, Merrimack's pretty damn good. I think they're better than Howard. And they won that game on the road. So I'm going to lean Wagner here. Why the hell not? I don't have a ton other than I'm just going to go with momentum. But to your point, Taylor, about the venues and how the game slows down, it should also be noted, and I feel like people take this for granted, but it's the first thing I notice every single tournament. Rims are tighter. Nets are different. Like, that stuff matters. Rims seem, they definitely seem tighter. The bounces off the rim seem a little louder. It's not your home gym. And you really got to get used to it. And it's going to take longer than the first 5 to 7 minutes of doing that. So I think we're going to see an ugly game in our first matchup.
Well, let me just shed some more light on that. Two things I want to bring up as well. So Seth Towns, let me go back to that for a second. You kind of brought it up, but I just want to point out that he was in his recruiting class. The number one player in that class was Josh Jackson.
Dang.
That. And Harry Giles and Markelle Fultz and Jason Tatum and Lonzo Ball and De'Aaron Fox. These dudes have been in the NBA for like 7 years.
They've all had like NBA narratives and stuff like very well. Like, we know what their careers are.
They've been to championship games and won MVPs. And like Bam Adebayo, who is in the same class. Bam Adebayo seems like he's 33 years old. Okay. And it's not a dude that you think is the same age as a guy who's still in college, but so
they've played in two NBA finals.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pretty successful Eastern Conference finals career. Wouldn't you say for Bam Adebayo there, Sue? So yeah.
That's all right.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It was right there.
No, it's okay.
You eliminated.
I'll worry about them choking after Arizona chokes. I'll worry about them choking.
You eliminated me from the fantasy basketball playoffs over the weekend. So I had to give you a little, you know, NBA jab there, but but let me just point this out. So we talked about the game being slowed down, right? Wagner is the second slowest team in the country, one spot above Virginia. So they're 361 and Virginia is 362. So not only is this game going to be slow as shit, like just because of the circumstances, you're also talking about a snail's pace, if there ever was one, in Wagner. They are not the most efficient team on offense either. They rank 334th in offensive efficiency, which essentially puts them in the bottom, 2% essentially of teams in the country in terms of offensive efficiency. So, boy, you know what this means, Sue. Somehow the over is going to hit. But, it's going to be a slow game. I don't know. We'll talk about it over the next 2 days. We all use metrics as it relates to our brackets and whatnot. But it is really interesting to look because there's two sets of teams that made the tournament this year. It's really slow teams and really fast teams. Yeah, right. It's really
That's
interesting.
A good point.
Yeah, it's if you look at the bottom all the way down KenPom. If you look at from, let's call it 300 down, there's like 10 tournament teams. And then if you look at in the top, 20 in KenPom, there's like, in terms of pace, there's like 10 tournament teams. So really interesting there. I know that's not Wagner or Howard specific, but as we look through this, really interesting to notice But yeah, I think Wagner, just because of how slow they play, how poorly offensively they play, I still am going to roll with the Bison on this one.
Let's move on to a bit more of an enticing game. I mean, they're all enticing. They're all going to be fun. I just
We're going to watch them just the same, you know?
Yeah. I just love all the crazy finishes that we're going to get, but Colorado State and Virginia. Now this is an interesting one. Let's talk about Virginia. First and foremost, I saw the clip floating around of them celebrating, and I think it was a celebration of surprise, shock, and awe. I don't think they had any inkling that they were going to be in the tournament. I think the second that buzzer sounded in DC against NC State, Virginia thought that they were cooked and the season was over. But alas, the committee hates the Big East, and the committee completely undervalues and undersees the Mountain West. And so welcome to the tournament, Virginia. They will play Colorado State. Speaking of a potentially underseeded team, Colorado State floundered just a little bit. I think they finished, what, seventh or sixth in the Mountain West, but they're capable, man. And they at one point were a top 13, top 14 team in the entire country. They have one of the best point guards in America in Isaiah Stevens. I think they have the ability to tighten up when necessary. And this is kind of like a revenge game for Colorado State. I think a lot of folks picked Colorado State in their game against Michigan. Now, if you remember a couple of years ago in that game against Michigan with David Roddy, there was something with a plane and they had to fly across the country. I talked to Ali Farouk Vanesh about this. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, and it was like the first game of Thursday. So, I mean, now they got to fly to Dayton. Fine. But I like this team. I like Isaiah Stevens. The Isaiah Stevens Reese Beekman matchup is going to be one for the ages. It's going to be a real battle. I like Reese Beekman also, but Virginia has been, they're kind of like the ACC's version of Villanova. Like, how many lives are you going to get? You should have taken care of NC State and you didn't. And people thought that was the death knell. And then you hear your name called by Adam Zucker. So I think Colorado State has the ability to just drive the stake home. I'm going to rely on Isaiah Stevens and this group. I haven't seen it all year from Virginia. They're not a tournament team in my eyes. So Colorado State is. I'm going to take them. Virginia at 69 in KenPom, and I think Colorado State somewhere in the 30s. I actually think Colorado State wins this relatively comfortably.
I agree. I think this gets not out of hand, but Virginia just, if they fall down by 10, it's over. They're like we just talked about, they're the actual slowest team in the country, and they're 194th in offensive efficiency as well. Colorado State, I mean, and I know that I don't want to over, you know, stat this to death here, right? And like, there's more factors to it, but Colorado State is 42nd in offensive efficiency and 38th in defensive efficiency. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a tournament team. That's no problem. Virginia, like you just said, 194th in offensive efficiency. Like playing a team that's top 42 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. So now Virginia is 7th in defensive efficiency, which is, of course, notable. Their pace is certainly a factor. Colorado State is not a fast team by any means either. They're not as deliberate as a Wagner or a St. Mary's or a Virginia. They do move a little quicker, but they are still slow. I would never use the word boring. That's not what I'm trying to say. But talk about some slow basketball we're about to watch here tonight. Slow basketball. So I can't wait for the NBA fans on Twitter. We're going to be like, "Wait, college basketball?
You watch this all year?
These teams are 49-47, you know?" And we know we're going to get some of that. I know. And honestly, I don't even blame them for this, because obviously the committee's not. I don't know what the committee was looking at this year. Really, not really sure what the theme. Jason said it on our last episode live, but I bet he'd still say the same thing today. I can't really figure out what the theme was to what we were going with for the tournament teams here this year. But they certainly didn't look at an entertainment factor for the play-in games, because these are going to be quite legitimately the two slowest games we probably will see the entire tournament. Straight up will be tonight's games in Dayton.
Yeah. I mean, really, the only intrigue I can see. No, well, that's not true. Colorado State and Virginia is going to be a good game, but you got both teams from Colorado going to Dayton. I wonder if they shared a flight. That would be something. And then you got two teams from the Mountain West. Again, just shitting on the Mountain West. And we're going to get to Colorado, Boise State, in just a jiff.
Yeah, I do like that there's a Mountain West ACC game. I do like that. Like that's
Clemson, New Mexico is going to be awesome just for the rhetoric of these two lunatic fan bases.
Well, and obviously Colorado State, Virginia is one. And then, you know, that game as well. Speaking of going places, did you see that Auburn, Alabama, and UAB are all in Spokane?
That's a good point.
So all Alabama teams are going to be on a flight essentially tomorrow or the next day.
Where's Samford playing? I'm not sure, but they're in Samford is in the Midwest. No, they wouldn't.
They're playing in Salt Lake City. They're playing in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, but pretty funny that the three named schools essentially from Alabama, all on the same plane, all on the same Southwest flight from Birmingham to Spokane this weekend.
All of them feeling a little different, right? You got UAB who just surged to take the American and they're conference champs, but probably a bit surprising. Auburn though is basically saying, damn it, I am the SEC champion. I'm great. Like this is what we expected. And Bama's over there being like, we are playing some of the worst appalling defense at the worst time of the year. We are terrible right now. So that will be something to watch out for. Taylor, let's move on to the Wednesday games. That's my fault. The Wednesday games. All right. And we're going to start with Grambling and Montana State. Let me just say this. I don't do SWAC basketball. All right. SWAC basketball is not good basketball. I'm so sorry to say. Montana State is going to win this game. They are just a flat out better team, even though the record may not say so. I'm not going to take the SWAC team here. Give me Montana State and what Danny Sprinkle left behind, by the way. How cool is that? That not only is Sprinkle's team current team in with Utah State, but Montana State didn't really miss a beat, I should say. But I'll take the Bobcats.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this great story for Grambling making their first tournament. You know, good for them. Really excited for them. It's not going to go any further than this one game this time around, unfortunately, in my opinion. They just are not particularly good at anything that I can come up with. I'm not trying to say that the Big Sky is a world-beating conference by any means, but Eastern Washington is a good let's call it good for their size, right? There's a lot of those teams in the Big Sky. Montana is a good
Montana's good, yeah.
Eastern Washington is a good basketball program. Weber State's a good basketball program.
Beat St. Mary's.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We've seen Sac State was the worst team in the conference this year. We've seen them make the tournament in the last 5 years.
Stingers up, baby.
Stingers up. And even Montana State, funny enough, that this is the year that they made the tournament this year because they're actually usually better than 9-9 in the conference. So just given their experience in playing in a tougher conference that has legit guys, not necessarily all the future NBA players all the time, but there's definitely have been some NBA players that come out every other year or so from the Big Sky. It's just a bigger, better conference with better basketball programs. And for Montana State to run through a tournament of that magnitude versus what the SWAC tournament is, and that shows me that they can win this game as well. So yeah, I'm rolling with Montana State as well here.
Next game. Colorado Boise State. This is going to be a really good game. I'm excited for this one. The cap off for the play-in games. Boise State very upset and probably rightfully so that they got to go all the way to Dayton and then play in this first four matchup. Colorado, this is probably exactly where they belong after losing to Oregon and not getting an AQ, having a very up and down season, very much like the Colorado Rockies there, not the baseball team, the actual Rockies themselves. Colorado after that season, Taylor, though, is in. Okay. And so you and I were pretty high on Colorado preseason and approaching the season. And we said, Tad Boyle's a really good coach. And I think he's a pretty solid coach. All right. Now they had a player in KJ Simpson, who I was telling folks last year is one of the best players you don't know about. And he was vying for Pac-12 Player of the Year. And then you have Cody Williams, who's an NBA player. Luke O'Brien, is playing pretty well recently. They're coming along nicely. All right. Colorado's playing a good brand of basketball. Eddie Lampkin, I think you mentioned it might be his second coming out party for the Buffs. Who knows? But I like what Colorado's doing. Now, I think Boise State's very good. Tyson Degenhart is probably going to be the best player on the basketball court. I would say it, I don't think it's going to be KJ Lewis. I think it's going to be Degenhart. He's made for these moments. This core has been in a lot of battles before in the NCAA tournament. I don't know if Colorado's core has that, but Boise State's does, right? Like Max Rice, Tyson Degenhart. These guys are made for it. Leon Rice is a great coach. But I think, Taylor, I'm going to lean with Colorado in this game. I simply think that they are a better team overall. They're ranked higher in KenPom, and I think KJ Simpson can steady the ship. I think he's going to outplay Max Rice. And despite the fact that the Mountain West was really good this season, the Pac-12 wasn't god-awful, as shown by four conference teams making the NCAA tournament, right? Like, they got outbid by that Mountain West, but I think the Pac-12 held its own a bit, okay? And so Colorado, despite getting waxed by Arizona, had a nice twice in the regular season. They had a nice conference tournament. Tell me I'm wrong here. I'm leaning Colorado, though.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean the other direction. It just kind of specifically a point that you brought up about the experience factor here. It's not that Colorado doesn't have guys that have experience like an Eddie Lampkin, like a Tristan Da Silva, you know, whatever. I think Colorado is the more talented team on the top end. Like, you know, like you said, they got the potential, you know, lottery pick or not potential, some a lottery pick on the team. But there's something I like about Boise State's kind of, they aren't grinders in their style necessarily, but to me, that's how they kind of feel like this year is. They weren't supposed to be as good as they ended up being, you know, in the preseason. I like their togetherness. This is kind of the anti, I'm going anti Ken Pom on this one because the stats and would say take Colorado, but there's something about Boise State that I like. It's a togetherness that they have. They've kind of been through this before. I will say that they played in a much better conference than Colorado did this year. I think that this
Mountain West
was significant, was notably better than the Pac. Because the Pac only would have gotten three if Oregon didn't make a run. So, you know, I mean,
they made that run and now people are saying they beat South Carolina from the SEC.
Right. But the Mountain West got the amount of teams in that they should. There wasn't a bid stealer that ended up. And you could have made an argument that if UNLV would have won it, they would have, you know, had seven teams in. I like Boise State. I like their experience. I like Max Rice. I like Tyson Degenhart. And I for some reason, I just, you know, can't put a number as to why, but I just have a better feeling about Boise State than I do Colorado. We've seen, we've probably watched a little more Colorado than Boise State. And I think we've played them so bad. We've seen them play so bad at times that to me, that just has stuck in my head where it's like, I've seen this team perform at an ultra high level when their studs are cooking, but I've also seen where they're just god awful. And so I don't like, Boise State doesn't have that variance top to bottom. They're a little more even keel. And I like that in this situation. So I'm going with Boise State in this one.
I think that's fair. I think I'm ready to go with the personnel, though, with KJ Simpson and Cody Williams. I mean, we'll see if this is a coming out party for Cody Williams because folks know who he is, but maybe not the national, like the entire country. Like people are going to be saying, wait a minute, come draft time. Like, why is Cody Williams getting drafted higher than Dalton Knecht, which I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, wait, this kid played college basketball last year for a power team. Like, why is he getting drafted? Who is it? Okay. So I think I'm going to go with the Buffs here, but we got our first four in Dayton.
One more factor I want to point out, and you kind of brought it up at the beginning. It shouldn't matter, but we know that these guys, they're just kids, Sue, right? And that is Colorado, I don't want to say is lucky to be here, but they are where they should be, right? Boise State, I think, has got a little bit of that chip to be like,
what the hell?
I finished third in like the third best conference in America, and I got to fly to Dayton on Wednesday night to play a team with potentially two and three NBA players on it. Like, what the hell? You know, so I think there's a little bit of that you could say is some bulletin board material. I know that shouldn't matter as like what the you know, constant saying is, you know, nobody should ever have to get you up for any of these games, right? But I think there might be at least a little bit more bulletin board material, let's call it, for Boise State. Is that a factor? I'm saying that it is. I don't know if it actually will be, but I just wanted to bring that up as well.
Yeah. All right. Then Thursday, Taylor, we're going to have to make our picks, but along with the picks, there are rules. There's etiquette. Okay. When it comes to watching the NCAA tournament and filling out your bracket, care to elaborate on some of those, Taylor? What are your favorite rules and what are some of the things that we need to keep in mind?
Well, the number one is one that we've all talked about, and I don't want to steal one of your rules because it is something that you, of course, are very, you know, intently about as well. And that is, you can't root for your bracket. I know we've talked about this multiple times. You can root for your bracket, right? But if that 16 seed is tied with the one seed at the under four timeout with a game on the line, I don't care if you have UConn winning the national championship. And you shouldn't either, okay? Because if your bracket's torched in that situation, so is everybody else's, okay? That's the other thing to think is like, oh my God, my bracket's busted. Well, so is literally like every other person's bracket at this point. So it doesn't matter. Like you're pretty much all even at this point. So that's, you know, that's the number one rule is upsets are what you should be supporting. You can root for whoever you want to going into the game, but as the game progresses, don't give me this unless it's your team. Like obviously I'm rooting for
your
Arizona.
Team, yeah.
Right. Your team doesn't apply to this, but if, like UConn, we watch college basketball all day, every day. And we don't even care if UConn or Tennessee, whoever wins. Right. So don't come in here 2 days before the tournament, watching your second college basketball game of the year and be like, oh God, I really thought it was UConn's year, you know, and you're rooting hard for him. Like, no, you got to root for the upsets.
Yeah. I would also say, and whoever's listening to this, I'm sorry, but it's going to be really brutal to say, Taylor, but I don't want your invites to your 5 to 7 people bracket pools. Okay. I've been in a bracket pool with my best friends since before I had fur on my peaches. Okay. This is like over 100 people in this bracket pool. I was on the ground floor in like 6th, 7th grade when we were not even betting for money. Taylor's part of this bracket pool because he's one of my closest friends and I trust him. And you've been in this pool now for what? Like 8 years, 8, 10 years.
Probably longer than that now. Yeah. But yeah, a long time.
So bracket etiquette. If I'm not like that close of friends with you or even family, don't send me your bracket, please. Like, feel free to completely disregard me. And even though you probably know me as the guy with the college basketball podcast, like, don't think of me. Don't send me this. Especially, and now this is really splitting hairs and I'm being a brat, especially if it's an ESPN bracket. I'm a Yahoo man through and through. ESPN brackets piss me off and they're so annoying to fill out. And so when I get these requests of like, hey, $5 entry, it's like me, Aunt Mary, and like this person, like, why? Like, I don't want to, because I'm not going to pay attention to it. And so I'm going to submit it about 20 minutes prior to the first tip. And I've already submitted my serious bracket to the pool that I'm already in. So what you're getting is half-assed garbage written outside of the class on top of my backpack before I have to hand it in to the teacher. Like, you're getting garbage. So please, and you know how people are just like, think of me when you do X, Y, and Z? Like, don't think of me. Please don't think of me when it comes to brackets.
So I want you to think of me. Whoever's thinking of Subi, you can think of me. But again, I think the overarching point is, you can invite me to any 100 plus person bracket for $20. I'm in, because the pot is thousands of dollars, right? But I think to your point, it's, I don't care about beating 7 people in a bracket challenge. Like, I don't care. I want the person who wins my bracket challenge to have like the entire Final Four, right? You know, not like whoever just limped in with like wins by default with one Final Four team just because there were only 7 people in the bracket. So yeah. I'm with you on that.
Those are some of my gripes regarding it, and we'll get to some others maybe on Thursday's episode. But Taylor, second to last item before we get on out of here, the NIT and how that relates to expansion thoughts.
So it's been a decently sized news story this week about how Memphis, St. John's, I think Pitt, who else? They all bailed on the NIT this year. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because the transfer portal opened up today or yesterday. So now the coaches want to focus on the players that they're going to try and get for next year's team, which I understand. So I think part of this is the NCAA's fault in general, as why is the transfer portal opening up before 68 teams still have games to play in the NCAA tournament? Another 40 teams, or however many there are, still have NIT. I mean, there's still like 125 basketball teams prepping for games in some capacity, CBI, you know, whatever. Why is the transfer portal opening up now? You know, that kind of doesn't make any sense to me. But the NIT kind of started to go more towards, hey, we want the big teams and not the little teams in here. And now they're getting shunned by all the big teams who don't want to play in it. And I think this is I hope it's not foreshadowing for what potential expansion for the NCAA tournament is. Because the joy of the NCAA tournament is honestly deciding if you're going to pick Wagner or,
yeah,
you know, yeah. I mean, that's part of it. Obviously, there's more to it than just that. But the good teams getting to the end is only one piece in the greater March Madness puzzle here. And a big part of that puzzle is a Murray State, is a McNeese State, is a VCU coming from out of nowhere to go to the Final Four, is a St. Peter's, is a Loyola Chicago, you know, that I bet you more people, you know, I could ask more people why they know Loyola Chicago and why, you know, where they finished in the tournament 3 years ago than even like Kentucky or Kansas or stuff like that, right? Because it's notable for one of those teams to make a run like that. So to be giving less opportunity to for those smaller schools to go further in the tournament or even to improve in the NIT, I don't like it. And so I hope that what we're seeing with the NIT is not a foreshadowing what we're going to potentially see in the future with potential expansion of the NCAA tournament to 72 teams. Because at this point, I don't care. Like, Wake doesn't deserve to make the tournament.
No, they don't.
You know, like,
they don't.
And you could argue St. John's and all that. That's fine. But St. John's, sorry, St. John's fans, you weren't winning the national title this year. Providence fans, sorry, you weren't winning the national championship this year. Okay. Like,
so here's the thing. I won't say that because we've seen like last year, promise you, no one was saying FAU, sorry, you're not winning the national title this year. SDSU, sorry, you're not winning the national title this year. Like Miami, sorry, you're not going to win the national title this year. I don't buy that. I think
Miami
that's
was like
dangerous.
A 6 seed though. So like they were even betting, you know, and
so like, are there any 6 or 7 seeds this year that were like, yeah, they can make a run?
Florida.
You think Florida could win the national title?
I mean, they have a better shot than say like a 12th seed or what would end up being like a 14th seed in expansion.
Goddamn UCLA was a Jalen Suggs buzzer beater away from playing for a national title. And they were in the first four. The point that I'm making though, and it is an important distinction. No, I know, but it is an important distinction is that you don't deserve that opportunity. Sorry.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. This is the way the cookie crumbles. This shit sucks. And usually I am on the side of players and teams, Taylor. I'm usually on the side of them, but this is for the fans. Okay. So what that means is, yes, it is heartbreaking for Josh Aduro and Devin Carter and Danis Jenkins and like Kadari Richmond. It is heartbreaking for those kids and probably for those fan bases, but there's a larger group of fans and fan bases that are super fired up to see Duquesne in there. Okay, that are super fired up to see Wagner, even though that's a one bid league, but like Wagner coming in. And so who is like NC State, 5 wins in 5 days. Okay, let's take NC State, for example. All right. There are paths. They are the perfect epitome and example of I do not want expansion because the crux of my argument, Taylor, is that there are paths. There are opportunities. St. John's, you can't go through a swoon. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what more Seton Hall could have done. If you win 13 Big East games, you should probably be in. But Seton Hall, I guess you had to be perfect. So be it. NC State was perfect for 5 straight days. They literally did that. And then Providence beat Villanova. I told that, like, you have Villanova in your own barn, Villanova, who's not a tournament team, and you were on 100% tilt knowing that UConn is next. I think it was UConn was coming into your barn next. So you had to get Nova and you didn't do it. So, like, you look at NC State and they say to themselves, your coach is going to be fired. You're not going to the NCAA tournament unless you win 5 games in 5 days. You know how difficult that is? They went and did it. All right. There's paths for everyone. And it sucks. Absolutely. You should be mad. You should be upset. But the NCAA tournament is for the fans. And if you expand it and water down this product, the fans will hate it. And it's going to suck. Don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's this coming weekend is the best weekend of the year for a college basketball fan. And I would hate to see that portion of it go away. Right, where all of a sudden, like, the first couple weeks don't matter, or we get to a point where there's so many games that, like, the top four seeds in each bracket get a bye for the first, you know, the first weekend of the tournament. Now you're talking about taking, like, a week and a half off, or if you're one of these small, like a Gonzaga, let's say, who's been a top four seed quite often, their conference tournament ends on Tuesday. The selection show isn't till Sunday. Then they have to wait until Thursday to play. If there's another gap in this, they might have like 20 days between, you know, the last game they play. Yeah, I don't, there is such thing as too much of a good thing, right? And that kind of makes it less special. And even just 8 more teams just is like, we're stretching this too far at this point. And of course, going back to what I was previously saying, I totally understand that making a run in the tournament and making the tournament aren't the same thing, right? Like you said, the right to do so, or however you phrased it. You had the right to do so. You could have won your conference tournament, automatically qualifying you for a bid. And I know you could say, like, oh, well, not everyone could do that. Yeah, I know. And if you don't do that, that's why this tournament used to just be conference tournament winners only back in the day, you know, before the at-large expansion there. So, yeah, we don't. Not everybody needs the chance to make the tournament. Everybody had the chance to make the tournament for the last 5 months, and and everybody again had a second shot, let's call it, to make the tournament for the last week. And so, if the first chance you screwed up, and the second chance you screwed up, you don't get a third chance to hopefully make the tournament. Like, you had legitimate 2 opportunities to do so in your conference play, or your play during the regular season, and your play in the conference tournament.
I think I'd switch out Seton Hall for Virginia. Like, I don't think Virginia, like, but this is just, it sucks. Life is unfair. It's great for Virginia fans. It sucks for the Big East fans. And it's terrible. I understand that. And people are going to be like, well, you guys are Arizona fans. You never really have to sweat out a selection Sunday. And that's true. I agree with that. They're probably saying, like, you're up in your ivory tower. It's easy for you to say. But there was a year in what was it, Taylor? 2008, right? 2008, where they...
Yeah,
Arizona got in, where they got in with 19 wins or 20 wins, whatever it was, and Vitale was fuming. And the entire time, folks, I'm telling you, and this is me at like 18 years old, I was saying they do not deserve to be in. I'm not, if Twitter and Instagram was around, I would be like, yeah, I'm not campaigning for this nonsense. I'm not going to be like Westboro Baptist Church freaks campaigning for a terrible thing. All right. Like, that's what Arizona was. They were a terrible basketball team, but you know what's going to happen? Hey, we got in. I didn't see Virginia fans being like, we deserve to be in. They saw their name. And what are you going to do? Be like, oh, no, I'm actually going to donate this spot to Rick Pitino or Shaheen Holloway. Screw that. Like, now you take advantage of it. If it's not up to you, they did as much as they could. And I don't know, it worked out for them. I'm just saying, because this is dedicated for the fans, Taylor. How do I put this nicely? Your gripes don't matter. Okay. So stop talking about expanding so we can get St. John's, Providence, and Seton Hall in. This was a combination of a pretty strong bubble in addition to some insane AQs. Tough.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, like you said, that's just the way it works out sometimes. There were like 6 bid stealers or 5, you know, whatever it ended up being. You can't control that. And even as bad of a job as I think the selection committee did this year, I mean, they can't control that either. So it's not like they can do a lot about that. you know? So, yeah, very strange times there. I remember that year quite vividly that Arizona made the tournament, and because they lost all three games they played that year to ASU and James Harden, including the world's worst moving screen call on Jordan Hill.
Jordan Hill. Yeah. Josh Aduro got one of those. That was a terrible moving screen call. I think it was in the Marquette game potentially. But here's the thing also, and then I'll drop this, that Arizona team, they took advantage of their path in the NCAA tournament. That terrible team went to the Sweet 16. Now they got their bread buttered by Louisville and Samardo Samuels and Edgar Sosa. They got destroyed, I believe, Taylor. Keep me honest there.
I like 40.
But who did they beat in the first round? Was it Texas?
Utah.
They beat Utah in the first round. And then the next game, they were supposed to play Al-Farouq Aminu, the Prince, and one seed Wake. And they lost to Norris Cole in Cleveland State.
Yep.
So Arizona then got Cleveland State. They beat them. And then, of course, they got completely bundled by Louisville. But the point that I'm making is, yeah, they shouldn't have been in, but when they got in, at least they made the most of their opportunity with an interim head coach.
You know, we could full circle this back to the play-in games, because you could maybe make an argument that this year's Colorado team is a lot like that year's Arizona team, which had Jordan Hill, Chase Budinger, you know, Nick Wise, whatever. But I mean, you had two surefire lottery picks on the team. I think Chase Budinger went right outside the lottery. But I mean, the talent was there, and that Colorado has
second rounder, by the way.
No, I don't think so. Was he?
I think it was a second rounder.
I thought he got picked.
Jordan Hill was a lottery pick, but
yeah.
But hang on though. Just real quick though, is KJ Simpson an NBA draft pick?
Oh, I'm not sure. Point being is that they have some very high level guys that just cut, you know, the team as a whole just underperformed for this for the year. But if given the opportunity to turn it on for four games, yeah, you're right. He was the 44th pick in the draft. Chase was.
Player.
Yeah, and he ended up being a way more valuable pick than the 44th pick in the draft. Which, funny enough, he, you know, played what, 8 years, 9 years in the NBA, something like that. Yeah. And that's not even what his best career is. He's way better volleyball player than he is basketball.
That's what he's
player.
Doing right now. That's
yeah,
what he's,
exactly.
He's doing.
But the fact that they had some very high end talent, and so Colorado has the same. Maybe that's our 2009 Arizona this year is 2024 Colorado, I guess.
Could be. Taylor, let's get on out of here. But before we do, okay, I just want to give some shout outs to eight great dudes, eight awesome individuals, not the Hateful Eight, but my Grateful Eight. Okay. Taylor, I think it's worth pointing out that number one, it's been amazing this regular season doing this with you for the past couple of years now, but we've been really lucky. We've been very, very lucky to have some awesome interviews and folks jump onto the program. But these eight individuals, Taylor, may have set a record, because they're going to the dance. All right. So we have nine total rooting interests. If anyone from Arizona wants to come on and actually combine those rooting interests, I'd love it. But we have nine total rooting interests. So it starts with Arizona. And then from there, we can root for Casey Shaw, assistant coach for Grand Canyon, best basketball program in Central Arizona. He was on the program in May of 2023 talking about Rayshon Harrison and Gabe McLaughlin, and they're awesome. Blackshear, those guys are great. All right. And they're going to have a tough, tough matchup against St. Mary's. After that, we had Isaiah Wilkins onto the program. Not going to lie, Isaiah, I didn't think I'd be shouting you out here on Twitter because I didn't think you'd be in, but you were. And at the end of the day, man, the Cavaliers are a straight up model of consistency. Like it or not, call your mother. Virginia is going to be in the dance. Now, they haven't won a game, I don't think, since their title run. But, man, Tony Bennett, great coach. Isaiah, congratulations to you. Best of luck. And then, of course, one of the greatest stories of the year, Washington State. Kyle Smith getting a ton of attention. But the assistant coach that came on, Coach Jeremy Harden, right at the beginning of the season, before they were going to Mohegan to play, I think, Mississippi State, he came on. And look at that. Washington State has their best season in a number of years. Call that man SEC champ Berg. Let's go, Burgo. SEC champ at Auburn. He's best friend of the program. He's been on multiple times, but the latest and greatest was in January, and they're dangerous as anyone. Samford, we had Mitch Cole, assistant coach. They're going to be in a great one against Kansas. But Mitch Cole came on to discuss a little Buckyball. So that was a lot of fun. Iowa State, a lot of folks are saying that's a Final Four team. They can get to Glendale. And we talked with assistant coach J.R. Blount about their defense. Creighton, another team folks are saying can get to the Final Four. Jalen Courtney Williams, assistant coach for the Blue Jays. We talked about how potent this particular starting five is for Creighton and why they're so great. Thank you for coming on and best of luck. And then last but not least, the legend. The legend lives on, Taylor. All right. He's not on the court, but he's still on the sideline. Ali Faroukhmanesh, Colorado State. We're taking you, Ali, over Virginia. Actually, damn. Ali Faroukhmanesh and Isaiah Wilkins. Should I drop them both a text?
Yeah, the Theater and College Hoops Bowl right there. I love it.
Sponsored
by Hercules Tires.
Damn, man. I'm sorry, Isaiah. I don't think I've been very kind to you or Virginia this episode, but Ali Faroukhmanesh, I mean, that was just a white whale episode. We know him from his shot against Kansas, but you really need to listen and focus in on what he said about Isaiah Stevens and this Colorado State team. So, Taylor, I know that was very long-winded, but want to thank those eight gentlemen and wish them the best of luck.
Dude, you've done a great job this year, as always, of getting all of these up and coming coaches onto our program. And of course, you know, those are just the ones that made the tournament. We've had a number of, wonderful guests in the past, head coaches like Frank Martin at UMass and people of that nature. So our guest list is only growing because of you, and very excited to continue this into the future. Of course, I'm not sure everybody is aware, but there's been over 250 of these Theater and College Hoops episodes so far. I can say I was absent for a lot more. Subs maybe been absent for three of them, maybe this entire time. Yeah, maybe.
Teamwork, baby.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, sometimes you just need a guy. You are the. Let's see. What point guard are you? Are you? Scotty Reynolds. I'll give you a Scotty Reynolds.
Dang, I'll take Scotty Reynolds.
Consistency. You know, consistency across the board.
You know,
TJ McConnell. You know what?
No, that's way too nice. That's way too nice. You know what? Give me Kyle Lowry because I have a fat ass. Another Villanova point guard, Kyle Lowry. All right, we're talking about my butt cheeks and everything right now. Let's get the hell out of here. Taylor, I'm going to return back to my bracket, continue to noodle on this, and then we're going to have two games. We'll catch you on Thursday. All right, folks, we're going to catch you on Thursday, and we're going to be dropping all of our finalized picks. Enjoy it. Tournament starts Tuesday. We'll catch you next time here on Theater and College Hoops.